My brief for today was to look at our vision. And, you know, as leaders, we've been looking at, for some time, looking at the vision of the church, and we wanted to simplify it and really just to capture the essence of who we are. And so let me just see if I can. So Dan shared this last week. And our purpose, to be a welcoming, diverse church family, introducing people to Jesus and seeing lives transformed. And my prayer is that this simple vision is something that we can all get behind, that we can see as being part of the church. But we want to be a welcoming and diverse family. We want to welcome all of those people. We welcome people from different nations. We want to be able to share the gospel. We want to be able to see what God is leading and asking us to do and to follow that. So our mission, you might get a little bit bored of this by the time I'm hoping that you'll have seen this a few times but our heart is that it really does encapsulate who we are, to create that culture of welcome, to be a people that proclaim Jesus. Can you see that, Rhoda? All right, okay. and to see lives transformed and devote ourselves to prayer. Because sometimes, you know, like from what we've seen today, you have to ask yourself, God, what can I do? What can I do with 16 million people? It just seems overwhelming. But the thing is that we are a people of the Holy Spirit, aren't we? Yes. We are a people of the Holy Spirit. And God can speak to each one of us and tell us to do something. And the challenge for each one of us is to be a people who are willing to listen and obey. And that is a challenge. And what I'm looking at today is proclaiming Jesus and following in his ways. Now, I don't know whether you know, but I go out onto the streets every month with our Healing on the Streets team, and we just pray for anybody who wants prayer. And I love that. I love just putting myself in a place where I can see God work and move. And I did that because I just wanted to learn how to pray for people. It's that simple. I just wanted to learn how to pray. And so, you know, John Wimber once spoke to a follower who was criticizing him and saying, well, I prayed and God didn't hear me. And John Wimber's response was, well, when you've prayed for 10,000 people, come back to me. And that is, you know, and I'd love to get to that number, you know, to have prayed for 10,000 people. You know, I don't know what God will do, as we'll come on to later. But, you know, we have a calling and we have a mission. And so, just to remind you, this is our emphasis. This is who we are. These are the things that we see God moving in. We want to be that family sharing life together. We want to devote ourselves to prayer. And it's great when we get our Thursday prayer meetings together. It'd be wonderful to see more people involved in that. We see God moving in our children and youth and in what we're doing in our international connections. And we want to see those grow as well. So enough of the reminder. We've based our vision in Acts 2. So what I thought it'd be good to do is to read Acts 2 verses 1 to 12 together. And I'd like to bring out 3 points from this passage. So if you've got your Bibles or your phones, I trust you're looking at your Bible apps on your phones. But there we go. So there we go. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. I'll read that again. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all those who are speaking Galileans? How is it each of us hears them in our native language?" Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and all the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" You know, this is an amazing passage. And what we see here is God bridging the gap between the Old Testament or Old Covenant and the New Testament or New Covenant. The believers are gathered together and the Spirit comes in the form of wind and fire. The fire comes and then splits into smaller flames and alights on the believers. And it's described by Luke as tongues of fire. But it's the same fire. It's the same fire from which God appeared to Moses in the burning bush in Exodus 3. It's the same fire that led the Israelites in the desert in Exodus 40, verse 38. But now it's not one bush in the desert or one pillar of fire over the tabernacle. It's upon all those who believe in Christ. God is filling his temple with his Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, the Spirit came to fill the temple in Jerusalem in 1 Kings chapter 8. But now it's not bricks and mortar. It's his followers. It's you and me. Can I say that again? It's you and me. At Pentecost, this Holy Spirit in the form of fire separates. No longer one, but even though it is one Spirit and one God, but this fire separates and settles on each of the believers. God has filled his new temple, and he does the same today. And what I'd like to do today is just to bring out three points, and namely, the first one being, you can't get the staff, can you? That hasn't translated. That should say, his presence carriers. It looked fine when I did it on my laptop. Need to widen the... We are his presence carriers. Aren't we? I'm going to do a Ben here. Aren't we?
Oh, yes.
Thanks, Andy. When we came to Jesus, we received Jesus and we were filled with the Holy Spirit. We became his presence carriers. No matter what we go through, what we faced, the difficulties we face, Jesus promises that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. His Spirit is with us. It fills us and it fills our hearts when we're at work, when we're at home. When we go out, when we come back, he's with us everywhere. You know, you might be facing difficulties, you might be facing trials. But everywhere Jesus, you go, Jesus goes with you. And at any time we can turn to him and ask him to fill us afresh with his peace, with his presence, with his spirit. We have the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, the one who draws alongside, the one who gives us strength. But it's not just for us, and it never was intended to be just for us. It's always for purpose. It's always for others. God blesses us so that we can bless others. I love that advert. I don't know whether you've seen it on the telly. It's an advert of this young man. He's going into for an interview. He's an Indian young man. And he goes in there and there's this another young man who's sitting opposite who looks like, you know, a really good candidate. And so the other man gets called. And this Indian young man, he kind of seeks confidence. He goes out to the toilet. And suddenly he's surrounded by all of his family. I think it's an advert for a mobile phone, I think, or something like that. You might correct me. And suddenly he's in the loo. He's obviously not doing anything yet. You don't see that on the telly. But all of his family is surrounded by him, and they're all giving him encouraging words. And that, for me, is what is like the Holy Spirit drawing alongside. He encourages us. I can't count the number of times when I've had to, if I've gone into a difficult situation when I was working in finance or a difficult meeting that I was going into, I'd just call out to God, God, will you just fill me afresh? This is going to be a difficult time. Lord, will you help me? Will you speak to me? Will you fill me with your peace again? And that is who we are. That is the God who we worship. We have that paraclete who comes alongside. And the Holy Spirit is there to fill us. Now, in Acts 3, Peter and John knew that they carried something. They knew that they carried the presence of God. In Acts 3, when they went up to the temple, they met the lame man at the gates. And their response was interesting. They said to this lame man, they said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. What I do have, I give to you. They knew that they carried something. They knew that they carried the presence of God, and they could give that away. They could give that away. So they reached down in faith and helped the man to his feet. And God healed him. And it is the Spirit of God that will prompt you to do something, just as the Spirit of God prompted Andy to speak to us about this Open Doors. God wants to lift our gaze higher. We carry the presence of God, and God can speak to us and lead us. He might prompt you to go and talk to somebody, to visit somebody. The point is that we need to spend time in his presence, allowing him to fill us with his spirit and lead us. My second point, I hope this one, no, this, oh, there we go, that one comes out. When the Holy Spirit descended on the believers, quite honestly, do you think they had any idea what was going on? Not a clue. Not a clue. Only Peter was the one that had the sense to think, God, what are you doing here? And God's enabled him to understand and to step forward. But the disciples just started speaking in tongues as the Holy Spirit enabled them to. And the biggest thing that happened was that the believers flooded out of the upper room and out onto the streets. They began speaking a different language. And, you know, for me, when I go out onto the streets, sometimes I feel like I have to learn a different language. I wish that I could just go out to the streets and speak in a different language and people would come to Jesus. But it, folks, if I did that, people would look at me as though, who is this nutter? Honestly, and I'd probably be thinking the same myself. But I have to go out there, and it is, for me, I look at it, and it's like learning to speak a different language. It's not the language that I speak, it's the language that they will hear. The disciples didn't have a clue what they were saying. They were just speaking in tongues. It was the people they encountered who heard them speaking in their own language. Now, for me, I just find that this is something that I have to make an effort about. It's something to learn. I have to do something. But I love the fact that God wants to touch people's lives. And generally, I still have no idea what God is doing. You know, for example, when we first started going out to the streets, we had a lady who came along who wanted to get pregnant, and she asked for prayer. So we prayed for her, she went off, and 2 months later she came back and said, "Thank you for praying for me, I am now expecting." Yeah, that was probably one of the worst, the first. Wrong word. But we often see things like that. God touches many lives. We love to see God. When people come on, we go onto the streets, we have a few chairs, people sit down, and it's quite common to sense the Spirit of God resting upon people. Their faces change. The Spirit of God brings peace, and the weights that they're carrying disappear. But God doesn't need us, to be perfectly honest, but he chooses to use us. We had one man who came along and wanted to have his back prayed for. He had a bad back, and basically he said I'll be back in time, I've got a job to do, and then I'll come back and you can pray for me. So, but when he came back, we'd gone, okay? He came back too late. The point being, when he approached where we were, he felt God touch his back and God healed him. And we weren't even there. And it's not often we pray for lots of people and most of them don't come back. But this chap came back and he's come back many times to thank the guy who he spoke to, even though he didn't pray for him. And so we know this is a genuine situation because, you know, Peter Lane, who spoke to him, you know, knows him and he's spoken to him on numerous occasions. So God doesn't need us, but he chooses to use us. But the fact is that all of those believers, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they started speaking in tongues. They fled out from the upper room. And actually, the upper room is quite a small room. I've been in it because when I went to Israel, it's not big. But just imagine, this was God causing the church to leave the building. That's basically what was going on. So learning to speak a different language. It's not ours, it's not our language, it's the people around us. God, how can I learn a different language? What is it that my neighbor needs to hear? What is it that our society needs to hear? You know, on a Monday afternoon, there's a few of us that spend an hour in conversation with mainly Hong Kongers. And we have a riotous time. It is such good fun. These people are so lovely. And ironically, they're learning English. So they're learning our language. But actually what they're hearing is the love and the care that we want for them, to see them learn English and to flourish in our society. And every once in a while, they'll ask us, why? Why are you doing this? And then, like Peter, we can stand up and say, well, this is the reason why. Our friends in India, when we go out to see them, they have seen, one of the churches in one of the villages have seen the church grow because they've taken the time to feed the kids of the families that are, the parents go out to work and the kids are left to fend for themselves. And the parent and this pastor and his wife, they feed the kids. And for them, that is like speaking the language that their parents need to hear. Because the parents ask, why are you doing this? Thank you for feeding our kids when we're out at work. And as a result, they've seen quite a number of families in that village come to Christ because they felt and experienced the love that is there. One of the biggest churches that we've encountered when we go out to India is with a pastor and his wife who've learned how to disciple the villages, the really poor villages, in finance. Amazing. And they're teaching these people how to manage their finance. I mean, they're super poor. I mean, if they earn a couple of quid a day, they'd be doing quite well. But they've managed to teach them about their finance. And as a result, they're buying them out of modern-day slavery. They're buying them out of their indebtedness to the coffee plantation owners who get them in debt and then have control over their lives. These people are coming to Jesus because they're being set free from modern-day slavery, and they're coming to Paul and saying, why are you doing this? And he's able to say, well, it's all about Jesus. So learning to speak a different language, it's about mission. And the last thing I want to say, I've passed that one, is that whatever we do, when it's done in the right heart to reach out to people, they will hear us declaring the praises of God. They will hear the praise that goes to him. Just as the disciples spoke in tongues, they didn't really know what they were doing. They didn't know what they were saying. But the people who heard them declaring the praises of God. The glory will go back to God. Now you might find, as I'll draw to a close, but you might say, well, I don't feel equipped to, you might not, if anybody wants to come out on the streets on the HOTS team, I'll happily take you there. I won't drop you in the deep end right away. Give it a month. But you might say to yourself, well, I don't feel equipped. Well, just look at the Bible. Really, I don't think anybody feels equipped. You might say, well, I don't have any experience. Well, the same. You know, it's the Spirit of God within us. And I just want to encourage you that we have the Holy Spirit, and these things can be an everyday part of our lives. And the question that we have to ask ourselves is, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do about the video that we've seen, the 16 million Christians? God, what do you want me to do? God, what do you want me to do about my neighbors? And God will prompt you. He might say, look, that neighbor's not very well. He might prompt you and say, well, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Something, you'll be walking through your normal day and God will drop something into your heart and suddenly you won't be able to get rid of it. That's a good test that it's the Spirit of God prompting you. But if you think you might not have any experience or you might not be equipped, I've got a short video, if we can play that, and I'll finish with this.
And I want to finish by telling you one more story. If this is, yes, it is, it's fine. One more story. It's nothing to do with me. It's about a young Bible college student who was part of a vineyard in Kristiansand in Norway. We're part of a big family, people. There are vineyards all over the face of the earth. And this was one in Kristiansand, which I don't think is, I think it's quite an obscure little town. And I'll read it, most of it, from her own account of a rather remarkable bus journey. She wrote and said, I was on my way home from Bible school, she was doing a course, when I got on the bus, and I noticed a girl that I hadn't seen in over 10 years, and I thought, oh, I'd better go and sit next to her. She had a baby with her, and I said, oh, is it fun to have a baby? She said, no. And I thought to myself, this is verbatim, I should never have asked her, and I should certainly never have taken the seat beside her. But the young mother started to tell me about how difficult life had been for her. Her parents had divorced. She had no contact with her father. She found herself with child by a passing boyfriend. Her mother wanted her to have an abortion, but God bless her, she refused. And when she gave birth to her baby boy, her boyfriend left her. And when her mother saw the grandchild, she continued to say that she should have had an abortion because he was so ugly. Imagine. The baby was born with an open cleft lip. As this girl said, I could clearly see. I felt sorry for her and I didn't know what to say. But as we talked, a Bible verse came into my mind about being salt and light. It was very scary. I started to get a headache. I felt someone was shouting in my head. It got louder and louder. I was embarrassed. I got annoyed, arguing with God. God, I'm not interested in being here on this bus. She's very honest. This is embarrassing. This is a small city. Everyone knows each other. This is not going to happen anyway, but I knew I had to pray for her. So I leant towards her in a tiny, small voice. Is it okay if I pray? I made myself, quoting, as little as I could, and with a very quiet voice, and speaking very fast, so that the people in the bus could not hear me, I said, God, will you please interfere in this situation? That's a fabulous prayer. Stop to think about it. God, will you interfere in the situation? Marvelous. I looked down on the baby, and there, the open lip had disappeared. There was no sign of what was there before. It was perfectly normal. I screamed. The mother cried loud. I thought, I'm insane. This is not possible. I couldn't believe what just happened. We cried more, and I got her cell number. Isn't that funny? Later, just this little conclusion, later she called me and told me that she'd been back to the hospital, and what I didn't know was that the baby's heart was in a serious condition, his lungs and his kidneys were in extremely bad condition, his urine had a strange colour, nobody could explain why. The baby got better and better. The medical specialist said, this is impossible. And he even said to her, the baby in your arms is totally different from the baby on our records. The baby in our medical records needed extremely much help, but the baby you are holding is 100% well. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that lovely? So again, I tell you that to tell you this. She was a very ordinary, obviously very shy, Bible college student on a bus. I was just a next door neighbor to a friend. Any of us can do this stuff. Women used to say, any old fool can do this. But we need to be empowered and filled with the Holy Spirit.
So there we go. Any old fool can do this. Did you hear that? That's me. I'm happy to be that fool. And just to allow. So I'd love to pray. I'd love to pray because Us realizing that we carry the presence of God is a really big, if you want, a start to us recognizing that God can speak to us, and not allowing the fact that we have our own problems, we have our own difficulties and things that we're trying to overcome and work through with God, allow those things to stop us from pressing through. So I'd love to pray if you'd join.
Just when we were worshipping, I had a picture, a really simple picture of a needle and thread, and it was quite a pretty thread. I'm no seamstress, but I think I just really felt God say that, you know, God can mend and heal anything in any one of us. And I felt if somebody here feels that they really need that healing, you know, we've heard some fantastic testimonies, so don't sit back. You know, now's the time. And, you know, we can come and pray for you today. Okay. So if you need healing, please do. Come and seek us and we will pray with you.
So let's just pray. Father, Father, we want to thank you that you are a faithful God. And Lord, we don't understand all the difficulties that are going on in the world and the troubles that we see. And Lord, it just seems overwhelming. But Father, we do ask, Lord, that you would come by your Holy Spirit. And that, Lord Jesus, that you would fill us afresh right now, Lord. Fill us afresh with your presence, with your peace. Come, Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to lift our gaze, to hear your voice prompting us. Forgive us for the times when we've missed it, Lord, where we've heard your promptings and not acted. But Lord, I pray that you would fill us afresh, that you would lead us and guide us. And as a people, Lord, we would see people coming to know you. Lord, that the presence of God that we carry, that you've given to us, would be spread abroad. That we would be your witnesses throughout this land and beyond, Lord, I pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.